You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach, Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Gavin Hardick from Buca, Long Beach. Good morning, Gavin, and welcome to Zone Radio.
A very good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
It's only a pleasure. What is the logo? The logo goes, Buca. I actually miss saying that, but
yes,
every time I do walk into Buca, that's exactly what I say.
You can still hear it on our in-store radio.
Yes, I can. Eh? So, Gavin, what is our topic this morning?
So, today I thought we would, obviously with our change in season coming, the waterproofing is a big aspect that a lot of people obviously come with their problems to stores. And we have to give them the advice to, how are we going to sort out their waterproofing issues? So if we, let's start maybe with, the usual stuff this time of the year. Very good idea. Clean out your gutters. Okay, water build up and so forth in the gutters, it'll obviously the water can't flow. Water is one of those things that's going to find its easiest route to flow. So, cleaning out gutters, roofing, waterproofing, your parapets and your flashings. It's time to give them a recoat before the rain starts.
That's
Once your rain starts, you can't really do anything with the waterproofing.
No. So what do you mean by recoat?
Okay, so there's an old pup and lup system, what they call it, where you use a membrane and a paint, and that's used on your flat roofs by your parapets. But basically, over time, the paint's microns wear out, and it gets thinner and thinner, and it's recommended that you recoat every 3 to 5 years, depending obviously on where you are.
Yes.
Also, a very good thing is your roofs, your flat roofs specifically. You get a lot of, with the trees, leaves and so forth, sitting on those roofs. I actually had a claim with a customer who, this roof was about 2 years old and he got rust spots. Supplier went out there and they said, I'm sorry, there's no claim because there's leaves on your roof. And what it does is the leaves actually, with the chemical reactions, it actually makes the rust form faster.
Yes.
So keeping your flat roofs clean of leaves, gutters clean, is going to allow your water to flow. So you're not going to have those buildup of water and pooling where your water will then obviously find its way into your house.
So who would think that gutters and leaves and all would be such a,
it's a big thing, believe it or not.
It's a big thing.
It's quite interesting. Also, believe it or not, gutters can, if you have a fire somewhere around if there's a fire coming close to your house, a very good thing to do is to actually rip your gutters off before the fire gets to your house. Because what happens is when fire sparks form inside the gutters with leaves and all that, it's the first point the fire can actually get inside your roof and then go into your trusses. So, we had one,
The Long Beach Mall.
Yes, for interest's sake, if you have a fire coming, obviously different to waterproofing, but pull your gutters off because it'll stop the fire from entering into your roof.
Well, that's a very good tip because I didn't know that. I don't think many of us do.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously other questions that I get asked all the time is, the big one is concrete decks. And so people have their concrete deck or their verandas overlooking their views and so forth. And then they have water getting in through the concrete slab.
Yes.
This is it's an expensive job because you got to rip up all your tiles and you basically got to start from the beginning. So when it comes to initially waterproof, do it correctly the first time, because the costs involved in redoing it at a later stage are just astronomical. So obviously for that sort of thing, I'd recommend a combination of Semflex with a membrane. It's a cementitious based product. You brush that all over and perpendicular coats to each other, and then you saturate a membrane, and that will allow for any sort of hairline movement cracks underneath. And then only after that you would do your finishing with your screeds and your tiling and so forth.
So you'd need to wait for that to dry as well?
Absolutely.
And what would that period be, depending
on? Normally it's 2 or 3 days, and it's depending on the weather.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously the other common issues is rising damp. Obviously we just get
that is so common.
Yeah. So rising damp on the inside of your house, you would basically strip your wall down to the plaster, and then you would put a damp seal on. Always wise to try and figure out where the water's coming in, because obviously most walls are built with a cavity that is supposed to catch the water and let it out through your weep holes.
And it doesn't always
But sometimes, work. You know, when the guys are building, they block the weep holes and you get water inside your cavity, and that causes your rising damp. So the big one there is, yeah, you strip it down, you give it a good couple of coats, a coat of your damp seal. And then you can recoat on top of that.
And that is the inside of the wall.
That's on the inside.
That's not a ceiling. It's the walls.
Yeah, that's just on your walls.
Right.
When it comes to, if you've got obviously a ceiling issue, then you've got to fix the roof first.
Yes. We are actually busy with something like that now. We speak. Yeah.
And also, believe it or not, recommended is if you've got a metal roof and it is, if it's relatively new, I recommend not giving it a coat of paint. Okay. You leave it as natural, you leave it as is. Simple reason is specifically when you start putting coats of paint on these, you can, if you have a little air bubble, water can sit underneath the paint on the roof sheet, and it can actually accelerate your rust. Okay. So when it comes to painting of roof sheets, I don't really recommend it. Other people may say different, but in my experience, it can very often accelerate the rust process.
And nowadays, you get such colorful sheets, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You grow your color bonds and so forth, the zinc hole and so forth is the way to go.
Yes.
And then outside walls. Outside walls, it's always a tricky one because it always goes back to the way that the plaster was applied.
Yeah.
I recommend to all of my customers, if they're going to plaster, they must add lime into their plaster. It's an old school method. A lot of the guys don't do it. There's a certain cost involved, but a bag of lime is, in the long run, it's going to save you.
Yes.
Your lime, basically, you mix it, one bag of lime to your a bag of cement when you plaster, and basically, it's dehydrated lime, and as time goes on, it actually rehydrates and almost forms a, let's call it a rock, a limestone, when it's mixed with the cement on your walls. And the water penetration is very difficult for it. Yeah. So, and then obviously, decent primer. I prefer solvent-based primers to the water-based, but that's a preference thing. Your water-based tend to dry quick and allow the guys to work faster.
Yes.
But I prefer the solvent-based. Your primers are very much there to stop your effervescence, which is, you know, that white powder that forms underneath.
Yes, that forms underneath the paint.
Yes.
So what is the reason?
That's to do with the content of the lime and so forth inside the cement. And if it gets a bit of moisture in it, and then it grows that sort of
chalky white. Yes.
That's, as I said, lime would stop that, and then definitely your plaster primer. So you'd obviously then need to strip the wall down, put on a primer, undercoat, and then your top coats.
All right, so that's quite a bit of work. But
yes.
a good plasterer should know this.
Yeah, I think a lot of the, as I said, there's a cost involved. You know, you're looking at an extra 120 Rand or so for a bag of lime. You've got to, if you do it properly the first time, you don't have those issues years later.
Yeah. And if you've got a good builder, and the builder will know exactly, and the plaster. I know what are you, a plaster, but it's important to have a very good plasterer. Mm.
No, of course. Never mind your plasters, your final coat.
That's right.
That's a very important part. Yeah. And if you don't do that properly, you won't get a decent finish. That's the one catch. So, you know, you got walls all rough and so forth, then it's a sanding down, and that just creates extra work.
Yeah.
But definitely, you're having the right skill to put the plaster on with the right application and product will leave it lasting a lot longer. Less paint, you won't have to paint as often because you don't have as much absorption.
Yes.
Because you've got a decent finish. That just makes your paint last longer and saves you money in the long run.
So you must have quite a lot of funny stories to share with us.
There's, you know what, at the end of the day, the product generally doesn't fail.
Yes.
It's normally the application.
Yes.
And when it comes to waterproofing, painting and all that sort of thing, preparation is key.
Yeah.
If you prepare properly, you will be fine. But if you don't, it's you're just wasting money.
It's also time consuming, isn't it? I mean, it's not that
time is money, eh? You've got labor on site. Yeah. It costs money.
Yes, it does.
So obviously, on let's say your DIY, this is a DIY segment. So
yes, we're going to put it out for our DIY listeners now. They must take notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so your DIY. There's also something called a BIY. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, what is a BIY?
That's buy it yourself, and then you get someone to do the job for you.
Oh, okay.
So you're not employing that. That's like maybe picking up, hopefully, a decent skilled person on the side of the road to do a job.
And that happens a lot?
That happens a lot, where, you know, that guy will come in and say, these are the products I need, and then the owner of the house will come in and say, right, he just buys it, and then takes the guy to go do the work.
Yes.
But you're putting all that skill set, obviously, onto that guy doing the work.
Yes, you
so
are.
So you've got to obviously make sure that they understand what they're doing.
Yes.
But that's just the industry.
But that's what they say. There's one on every corner.
Yes, you know? there's a lot of cowboys out there too that wanting to make a bit of money, and they're not putting their heart into the actual work itself.
I know. When you come down Black Hill and you come in, and there's a lot there in Sun Valley on the side.
Yeah.
There's so many skilled. Mm. And you look at all the tools they've got. And I'm sure amongst them you've got good, skilled
if you look
workers.
Absolutely. There are some decent ones, but there also are some guys that don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
And those are the ones when the customers eventually come back to me when the work hasn't been done properly.
Yes.
But when it comes to something like painting, you know, painting is people say, just throw a coat and paint on there and it's done.
No.
It's not that simple.
No.
As I said, the preparation is the most important.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a guy come and paint some walls there by me, and we used a decent quality paint, prepared it properly, but he was in a rush. And as he was brushing on, and now a couple of weeks down the line, I can see, that spot there definitely doesn't have two or three coats in it.
Yes.
So obviously when the paint dries, you lose a bit of the color changes slightly.
Yes.
It'll go either darker or lighter, depending on the oil or solvent base.
Yes.
And then they can see what they've painted and what they haven't.
Yes.
So when it comes to a painter, it is a skill set to make sure that they get full coverage of the wall all over with the right amount of coats.
Yeah. When my hubby was in the trade, he had to go to Plascon, I think it was Plascon, and he had to go do a course. And he had to do practical and theory.
Yeah.
So it's not just
absolutely. We send our staff on those courses. They haven't had a lot lately, we send them on them because those courses are obviously from the horse's mouth, and the knowledge and skills you get there are. Yeah,
it's
practical.
It is practical. It's not just a brush that goes up and down on the wall.
No.
Not like, there we're putting it out to our DIY. The ladies, how many ladies? There's lots of ladies that are pretty good at DIY.
Yes, the ladies that are coming into our store, that's a growing market.
Yes.
I think that it's great that they're getting their hands dirty and improving their surroundings. It's definitely an uptick. It's nice to see.
Yes, I've even got a pink heart. I've got a pink heart hat, and I've got a belt with tools to go
tools,
in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not full yet.
Yeah, and then we've got pink paintbrushes and all sorts of things like that. So, there's something for everyone, huh?
Yes, there is.
So, just with regards to, what else, the DIY segment. Now, DIY is very, very broad. You've got to have certain tools and certain skill sets.
Yes.
You know, you can't just ask some guy who doesn't know how to do anything to go put a cupboard together and so forth. So DIY is, everyone has their limits with regards to what they can do. So obviously from our side, we can guide and give you the best advice to get whatever you need done. But you've got to make sure, I'm not going to profess that I can plaster a wall. I can maybe lay a brick or two and all that sort of, but there's a certain skill set to these things.
Yes
I can paint, I can build cupboards and so forth, but when it comes to putting a roof on, I would need to call a professional in for that.
And you should.
Because
it's going to cost you more at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yes, we get, the weekend warriors, we call them the DIY, but it all depends where their skill sets lie.
What do you call them?
The weekend warriors. Yeah, those guys.
I hope you're listening.
There's a couple of them that come in and they, a lot of the guys also, they don't have time during the week, and the weekend is when they they're working their hardest on their home because the wife has given them a snag list of all these things that must be done. Yeah. So that's our market.
So Gavin, if someone comes in and they would and they've obviously taken measures, they want to do a kitchen cupboard. So they come in, they give you the measurements. Do you cut for them?
Yes. So kitchen cupboards, bedroom cupboards, all that sort of thing. We carry white melamine and so forth. We do all the edging and so forth. Putting the cutting list together is the tricky part because the way I put a cutting list together and assemble it may be slightly different to the next person. So we don't necessarily like to actually put a cutting list together for someone. As I said, it's all to do with the actual construction method.
Yeah.
But we know how they're supposed to be put together.
Do you go on site to do measurements yourself?
Normally, customers will just bring their cupboard, the size of the wall, and we can help them design the cupboard that they want to put in and supply them with all the hardware, handles, and all that sort of thing.
Because not all walls are straight.
Yes, so whenever you're building cupboards and so forth, you would always leave a filler on your sides. So you'd make the cupboard maybe 20 or 30 mil smaller, and then you would cut a strip of wood to fit into that last section because, yes, plasterers and so forth, walls are not built straight as we think they are.
Yes, which I've learnt. So that's why I'm mentioning this because
I know. 100% right. Never mind that. Then you get the floors that are out also. With regards to floors, we sell them basically little feet that you put underneath your cupboard that have an adjustment so you can adjust the height of the feet underneath to take into account your skew floors.
So you do have that installed?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes life a lot easier. Yeah. But as I said, it's all to do with the construction method, the skill sets that they have, the tools also. Yes. You can't be putting, when it comes to melamine, we cut and edge it for you. We have to do it with our panel saws because it cuts it with something called a scorer, where basically scores a line inside the melamine before the main blade cuts, so you don't get chipping of the melamine. Right. And then obviously the edging would then be applied with different, you can go with different thicknesses also.
Yes.
When it comes to edging, I always recommend 1 mil and above. The thinner edging, they call it, it's a 0.35 PVC. You know, when you put your hand in the cupboard and you scratch it on a shelf and so forth, it's a very sharp edge.
Yes.
And just for an additional cost of not a huge amount, you get a much better product finish at the end of the day.
So would you suggest a carpenter here? Or I know
cabinet makers, carpenters, I would recommend. As I said, if you're handy and you can build up certain things, then definitely we can take you through the process. But if you don't have any idea on what you're doing, I say when it comes to carpentry and cabinetry, you can be out by a couple of mils, but cabinetry, you got to be almost spot on because otherwise your door is out by 2 or 3 millimeters. Yes. You're going to see it.
Yes. And fiber cement boards,
So your fiber cement boards are a different application depending on what. So obviously.
Let's go to the bathroom with fiber cement boards.
So inside your bathroom, if you've got, for instance, a timber frame house.
Yes.
You're going to have a waterproofing issue with regards to plaster boards. You do get plaster boards that are waterproof, but I still would recommend a fiber cement board.
And thickness?
Thickness, you're going to go a minimum of 9 to 12 millimeter, depending on how many uprights you've got behind it, how many studs. Because if you're going to, which obviously you most likely will do, is you're going to end up tiling on it. If the product is moving, your tiles are going to pop off.
Yes.
So you normally always have to use a flexible adhesive into your shower, and that will obviously allow for any movement in your boards. Waterproofing is very important. Showers, specifically on timber frame houses, I've seen so many. A lot of guys, what they do is they actually throw a little concrete base and then put their plumbing and so forth into that. It's easier to tile and it's longer lasting. Yes. You know you're going to have, but you don't have to go that thick, and you'll need to put some chicken mesh or something like that just to bind it.
Yeah, and you need to know what you're doing.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Because as you said, the plumber's got to come in once you've kind of ripped everything out.
Ideally, when you're putting up your, if you're using the new tech, you want to have your plumbing done behind the wall first, cut your holes for your taps and your shower roses, and then then your tiling can happen after
and
that.
And make sure you don't hit a pipe with water.
Absolutely.
Have you had experiences of that?
Oh, there's definitely. I've done it myself before. It's not a nice feeling, eh?
No.
It's not a nice feeling. And I've done it once in a very old house, and now you're trying to find the mains to shut it off. Oh, no, it's an absolute nightmare. Wooden floors flooded. Oh, So you've got to also, always know where the mains is in your house.
Yes,
if
true.
There's an emergency, you need to be able to either put your electricity off or put your water off.
But that's always outside, isn't it, though?
It is always outside, yes. Yeah. Hopefully it's not overgrown with shrubs and all that sort of thing that you can't get to. But your water meter obviously needs to be read by the council anyway, yes, so they must have access to it.
Yeah. So your quotes, people phone in for quotes?
Yes, we can either go through, obviously online, you can phone in for quotes, drop us an email, we can then obviously, or you can, yeah, there's many different ways to get hold of us, and then we'll sort you out with whatever you need.
And if need be that they ask you to please come on site.
We will go onto site, absolutely. Yeah.
And on your premises, you've got all these workshops.
Well, we've got downstairs, we've got our board store cutting area, which does all the cutting and edging and all that sort of thing. We've got plumbing, electrical, all the different sort of departments, power tools, hardware, ironmongery and all that sort of thing. So the ranges are there.
So you cover basically a lot.
If we don't have it, we'll get it for you. In the building industry, you've got anywhere from 80 to 120,000 products. Those are called your broad range. We have then also your KVIs, that's your known value items. That's your cement. Everyone has to have cement, sandstone. Everyone has those. It's like your bread and butter in your supermarkets.
And you do have that.
Yes, of course. It's a big mover for us.
Yeah.
And then we've also got our core lines, which is the complementary products too. So if you're going to have cement, you need to sell your permabond and your tools to apply it and all those sort of things. So there's different ranges, and we class these things in different sort of aspects.
Yeah. Laminate and flooring?
We're only on order.
Outsource.
I've put laminate flooring down before.
That's not easy to do.
It's okay. I've moved away from laminate. I actually prefer vinyls now.
Really?
So that old, I don't know if you know the old Novilon.
Yes.
But they've kind of upgraded it since.
Is that back now?
Yeah. It comes in panel sizes almost the same as your laminate. Yeah.
Really?
But what it doesn't have is that clang, clang, clang when you walk on it.
Yes.
High heels won't go through parts of it, and it's a much softer feel on your feet, and it's much warmer.
Have you got that in stock?
Also, we do it on order. Right. There's just too many colors and different.
That would be interesting. I'd like to, because a vinyl used to be in our days. Remember, it was cut.
You stick it down on your floor in your kitchen. You replace it every year. And just put it over the next, and eventually you pull it up. You've got 14 different layers of vinyl.
And do you still do this now with the new one?
No. The new stuff has been upgraded. It's much better.
So how does one prepare that?
So you've got to make sure that, first of all, your floor is completely smooth. If you're lifting up a carpet, you need to try and remove all that glue, which is, it's always a mission. Yeah. And then make sure that where you pick up along the edges where they put those little wood with all the nails in to hold the often when you pull that up, it pulls up a little piece of the screed. Yeah.
Yes.
I recommend filling up those little sections with a bit of Roxette. It dries very quickly, and you can just fill up the holes quite quickly.
Yeah.
And then clean your floor, you apply your glue, and the vinyl's very easy to work with. It's actually easier than the laminate.
Well, it's so nice to be calling back the past here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So could you put this over laminated flooring?
No, you'd
have to lift it up. This is so
interesting. Because laminate flooring is theoretically a floating floor. Okay, it's not attached to anything. Yeah. It's only that you put it down, and then your skirting covers it up, and basically it kind of floats on that.
It's like a lock-in system.
Yes, correct.
Setup. But you need to know what you're doing, because I know many people are not very happy, and
absolutely.
Like you said, I know how to do it, and then it's not lined up, and
it's like tiling. You know, if you don't know how to tile,
you need a tiler.
You need a tiler, in my opinion.
I think in three ways, you need a good builder that knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
definitely a good plasterer, a tiler, and a carpenter, and plumbers. Oh yes, and there's in the valley we've got so many plumbers that we're not.
That amazes me.
and they say they're all busy.
I know. It amazes me. Yeah. The plumbing is a big thing.
Yes. And you stock plumbing.
Yes,
as well?
So we've got all your. We can do everything from foundation to apex of your roof. Unfortunately, our premises are small, so we keep the faster moving items.
But you've got branches in the valley, haven't you?
Yes. So there's one in Simonstown and one in Fishock. Yes. They are satellite stores. So the satellite stores use our, let's say, transport. And basically, if you're wanting 50 cement, they're not going to have it from there. They don't have their own vehicles. So they'll just send the paperwork through to us, and then we'll deliver to you the following day. All right. You can go there. You can order anything from Simonstown or Fishick that is on our stockpile at Long Beach, and we will deliver it from there.
All right. And then yours is definitely the branch.
Yeah, no, we are
yours
the branch.
Is the branch.
Yeah, no, we're the one with the bigger stock holding.
Right. And do you charge for delivery in the...
Yes, we do. We have to, unfortunately. Yes. Fuel is one of those things.
Yes.
Pending, but generally it's around a 350 Rand mark for a load. We don't really care if it's a truckload.
Yes.
But for our vehicle to function, get to a site, it obviously costs money. Yeah.
And do you just you do travel out the valley? Because I have seen you.
Yes, we do. We try
Oak
not to, but we do have customers on that side, so we've got to service them. But obviously, you're sending a truck over the mountain, you're going to slow your deliveries down on this side. And we try to get deliveries out within a 24-hour time frame, but it can get tricky. It also depends on volumes and, you know, I've got bricks, and they take a while to offload.
That's right. Well, you've got to load it, then offload.
Yeah, and that's quick, too quick to load because we've got the heisters. But obviously, when it comes to volumes, that's where the catch is. So if you're ordering 5,000 bricks at a time, then our supplier will deliver it for us, and they, you know, then it's easier.
Yes.
But obviously, if you've got a site restrictions, which often happens, and, you know, lots of panhandles and Scarborough, Misty Cliffs.
Yes. How do you handle those hills
and
those driveways? I mean, now
all of our vehicles are basically automatic because clutches are a problem.
But how do you offload? Because some of those driveways are at an angle.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got certain rules with like Misty Cliffs and up in the Scarborough, the higher roads there, that when we do send a truck, it's normally our smaller truck.
Yes.
And then we never also send it completely laden. We send it like half full. Simple reason is the roads there, and a lot of, believe it or not, I think in Misty Cliffs, a lot of the residents actually take care and pay for the maintenance of the roads that are in there. So we try and obviously work with our customers not to cause any damage to those roads because it's
for
weight.
For me it would be a headache, and I would worry all the time.
Yeah, well, especially your trucks going out there. There's and they are representing you as they go out there. So we try and maintain a.
That's right. You're not Buco for nothing.
Exactly.
Before we go, tell us a funny. You must have some funny stories coming.
Can't think of anything at the moment.
There must be something that's stuck in the drain, and they're asking you. There must be some stories.
there's been one or two customers, and it's like, are you seriously going to attempt this? You don't know a spade from a fork, and you're going to do. But I wouldn't want to nail anyone in particular.
No, you're not going to name and shame. You're just going to tell us a funny story.
I just can't think of anything. No, we've had some interesting ones, but nothing comes to mind right now.
All right, okay. I'll let you off the hook then.
All righty, thanks, man.
Is there anything else you want to share with us, Gavin?
Just come visit, come have a look-see. We've recently went through a bit of a revamp where we've turned the store, the Long Beach one, to be a lot more retail orientated.
Oh, I must come and have a look.
It's lowest shelves. We also do a couple of other different products, like a bit of dog food. Believe it or not, it sells.
You've got dog food too?
We do, we buy from Montego. Our pricing is also pretty good. We're going into a bit of the decorative stuff and so forth. So, as I said, the store is small. We've grown out of it. So now we're obviously looking to keep the products in there that best suits our customers.
Yes. So I want to put it out there that go and visit the shop, go and see what's there, and you and your staff are amazing, and you're very helpful. So, Gavin, thank you for coming in.
Only a pleasure.
Sharing your knowledge and expertise
with
us. Anytime. Bye.
Cheers.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive. Sunnydale.